The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and mercy and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. So here we have another parable. Last week we had one sentence long parable, and it's good to have a couple of weeks of parables because we're heading into a stretch where we don't have any during this summer. We get story after story about Jesus calming the sea or healing people. So stories about Jesus, but not necessarily from Jesus' mouth like we get with these parables. And today we get two, and they're both about seeds. The kingdom of God is as if someone plants some seeds, then goes about life, sleeping and rising each day, and somehow, by mysteries and miracles, the seed's shell is softened by the moisture and heat of the soil, the shell pops open or cracks open enough, or maybe dissolves, and a tiny root forms that starts seeking out some nutrients. And it feeds itself enough to grow a little green stem and some little tiny green leaves that pop up above the soil. And only then does the farmer know that the seed has sprouted. All that mystery and all that miracle, all that growth has been unseen and really unexperienced by the farmer. Jesus says in this text that the earth produces of itself, and in the Greek, that word for produces of itself is automate, like automatic. It means self-impelled, motivated from within. We might plant the seeds of the kingdom of God, but we are not the reason the seed knows how to make a root. We might water the seed or pick the big rocks out of the soil or pull weeds that are trying to use up the nutrients that this plant might need, but we do not program the seed to develop a root, to feed itself, to grow leaves above the ground. We don't insert the chlorophyll into the leaves so that it might be about the business of photosynthesis. We plant a seed. We give it some water, or if it's a big, farm, we hope it rains. And assuming that the sun shines to warm the soil, we can go about our rising and sleeping and rising and sleeping for a while it does its work. And then in the case of this parable, when the wheat has sprouted and grown into a stalk and formed a head, and that head has filled with wheat, then we can reap what we have sown. Our participation in the kingdom of God is like a farmer that helps plants be miracles. We help. We water. We pick stones and weeds. But God does the growing. Anything we have ever harvested or will ever harvest, God has grown. I suppose the danger is when we are sure that we have done all of it. When we say, "Hey, look what I did. I grew a tomato or a cucumber or, frankly, a baby." We forget our humility when we forget that we are not in charge of cells dividing in plants or babies. But Jesus' point here is that in the kingdom, we help God. God uses us when God is about the business of mysteries and miracles. So I planted some seeds in early April, which this year was a mistake. Just a few seeds in a few pots in my front yard. I did not have time to do a big garden, and so I planted a few seeds in a few pots a few days before we had a major frost. And then even after that frost was over, we did not have warm weather. The soil was not being warmed. The seeds were not being coaxed to open. So I have walked between my car and my front door hundreds of times since early April. I've just hurried past those few pots with just soil in them and a few random weeds now until Thursday. When my mother was with me and we were tidying things up and I looked at that part of the front yard and I said, you know, I'll empty those pots of their soil and put the pots in the shed. And there in one pot, against all odds, was a 4-inch tomato plant. In among some weeds, of course, in a pot that I had not watered. So whatever water it had was from the rain. Besides poking my finger in the dirt and dropping a tiny tomato seed in there and pushing some soil over the top of it, and the water that I gave it on the first day on planting day, I had nothing to do with the miracle and mystery that was taking place over these months as I walked past it over and over while I was doing my rising and sleeping and rising and sleeping. I didn't notice it because I knew it was dead. Well, Thursday, I pulled out those weeds and I went and got one of those tomato cages from the shed. And I watered and watered and watered that pot. And I shook a little plant food in there and I turned the soil up a little bit. And I felt like if that seed didn't freeze to death or die of thirst or be choked by weeds while I walked past this mystery and miracle of its life, while I did my rising and my sleeping and my rising and my sleeping, well, and since I've seen it now, and since I know it is there and it is alive, there is some serious love and care to offer it. I felt like apologizing to it. It's only a tomato plant, but it conjured up all of that in me. So my question, the question God is asking me, is will my heart break for the people that I have walked past? The ones I've given up on? Will I stop walking past? Will I notice? Will I stoop to remove weeds, whatever obstacles that are in their lives, to the best of whatever gifts God has given me to remove those obstacles? Will I offer clean, refreshing water? Will I nourish them with food and prop them up the way I did with a little steak for my tomato plant? That's the kingdom question. So here we are listening to Jesus tell us that living in the kingdom of God is participating in love and service. It's nurturing and harvesting and remembering that God's Spirit is at work in mysterious and miraculous ways, ways that we surely don't understand and often don't notice. And that all of it matters. And if the seed parable is about how God moves and grows the kingdom, then you and I are not just the farmers who are helping out. We are also the seeds. For surely God is at work in our lives in mysterious and miraculous ways that others and we don't see and don't understand. Surely God is moving in ways that we underestimate. And if we are both farmers and seeds, then so is everyone else. If we are participants in nurturing and growth, then we are also recipients. Then someone else has poked their finger in the soil and dropped us in and pushed a little bit of warm soil over us and given us a drink and prayed that the sun would warm the soil around us. Living in God's kingdom is about serving and being served, about nurturing and being nurtured, and it is always about humility. Humbly recognizing that we are agents of help, but it's God that's in the business of miracles. And so what of the harvest? If we have nurtured a seed into a seedling, into a stalk with a head, with a stalk with a head that's filled with grain, then our next job is to discern when it's time to harvest. It feels a little gruesome, frankly, to go out and take a sickle to this thing that you've nurtured. But this kingdom life is about pouring ourselves out for others. It's about figuring out what our gifts are and then offering them to others. And a wheat stalk that is not harvested will eventually shrivel and die. And yes, it will nourish the land that it decomposes into, but that's not why the farmer planted it, now is it? Wheat farmers plant wheat to turn it into flour, to make bread, to feed those who are hungry, to satisfy others. And that second parable, the mustard seed parable, Jesus says the seed is tiny and it grows into an enormous shrub. Lots of people call them mustard trees in the Middle East. In the Middle East where Jesus was standing speaking these words, telling this parable, mustard, I'm going to call them trees, grow to up to 20 feet tall and have a span of 20 to 30 feet out of branches and leaves and berries. And what does Jesus say the mustard tree is for? For providing a place to live for the birds of that area. The mustard tree's purpose is to serve others. When we are aware that someone needs nourishment, literally nourishing food perhaps for their bellies, or some other kind of nourishment like education or medical attention or like a visit or a card game with friends for a lonely person, when we become aware that there is a seed somewhere that needs water or some rock picking or some weed picking or a prayer for some warm sun on the soil, then we are called to serve that seed, that person, that child of God. And we do not get to choose if we think that seed deserves the water. We do not get to decide not to help. Jesus is so clear that living in the kingdom of God is all about love, and love always means serving when you're talking about Jesus. Serving those we don't understand, serving those we're afraid of, those we do not respect, those that we think are too different, those that might hurt us, those that don't really know how to ask for help. And thanks be to God that that is the truth of the kingdom. Thanks be to God that in the kingdom, people who need help get help. Thanks be to God that in the kingdom, people who are lonely get visited. Thanks be to God that in the kingdom, even those who are angry and misunderstood and mean and judgy are loved and served in the name of Jesus, because we are so often angry and misunderstood and mean and judgy. Jesus came to show us how to love and serve by loving and serving us. And when we were scared and angry and put him in harm's way, he loved and served us. And when we were violent and rejected him because he wouldn't obey the laws that we loved so much, he loved and served us. And when our violence and love of the law put him in a grave, and we went on our way to tend to our rising and sleeping and rising and sleeping, God was about the business of mystery and miracle. Because that's God's way, you see. The way of love. God's law is love. Always and only love. Thanks be to God.